celebrating over 50 years on the front line of social justice and reform. A 65th birthday extravaganza. All this and more as we take you behind the scenes at the Reverend Al Sharpton's and the National Action Network's 2019 10th Annual Triumph Awards. All this and more is happening now.
3, 2, 1.
Podcast has launched. You're listening to Surikhan Whispers of Wisdom.
If Surikhan isn't on your podcast isn't really on.
Surikhan Whispers of Wisdom. The entertainment industry. Just saying.
This podcast is produced by Surikhan Media Brand.
I'm so impressed.
Oh, he's really great to work with. He is so down to earth.
Professionalism would be one word to just characterize him and what he did with this movie and pulling it all together.
But he knows what he wants as a director.
Surikhan is like great.
He just did it all. He did what he could. He worked with what he had and he made it happen.
See that he's very passionate about it.
But I have to admit, he really like rocked it.
Surikhan, you're gonna do big things, man. Big things.
Up next, history and entertainment.
History and entertainment.
In 1998, singer-rapper Lauryn Hill became the first female musician to win 5 Grammys in 1 year. Jennifer Hudson won an Academy Award for her supporting role in Dreamgirls at the 2007 Oscars. Hudson was voted off of American Idol and went on to win a Grammy for Best R&B Album at the awards show in 2009. Visit Newsday.com for more interesting Black History moments in entertainment.
Close Encounters and Purposeful Connections.
While watching the television news show, AM Chicago, it was 9:15 in the morning when musical mastermind and film producer Quincy Jones had a close encounter and purposeful connection with a local on-air personality who would one day become a national phenomenon. Her name is Oprah Winfrey. Quincy, who believed in the divinity of the process of what we all do, says he really trusts this process with all his heart. He looked at the screen and said, "That's Sophia. I don't know if she can act or not, but that's Sophia." Referring to the no-nonsense character in the Alice Walker novel, The Color Purple, that he and director Steven Spielberg was producing as a feature film. Oprah Winfrey, unbeknownst to Quincy Jones, had a deep obsession with the book, The Color Purple, after reading a review in the New York Times and purchasing it. Oprah got a call from a casting director who wanted her to audition for a role in a new film that was casting called Moonsong. After arriving for the audition and reading the script, she discovered that Moonsong was indeed the working title of The Color Purple, and she was asked to read for the role of Sophia. Sophia was married to a man named Harpo in the film, which is Oprah spelled backwards. A great sign, so she believed. After the audition, Oprah called the casting agent to follow up on the audition, only to be chastised and ridiculed for not being an experienced actor, and had the audacity to call the casting agent. "You don't call me. I call you," said the agent. "We have real actors auditioning for this role." After trying hard to accept the disappointment of not getting the role, she prayed so hard, and she surrendered. While Oprah was on the track field trying to lose weight, praying and crying, she was informed that she had a phone call from director Steven Spielberg, who was calling to offer her the role of Sophia in The Color Purple. In the words of Oprah Winfrey, "Nothing has had a greater impact on me spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, in determining my path because it literally changed my faith. I have never wanted anything as badly, as hard, as much as The Color Purple. Oprah Winfrey and Quincy Jones, A Close Encounter and Purposeful Connection. As Quincy Jones recalled, the divinity of the process was indeed at work, and The Color Purple was setting her up for that which was to come, the National Oprah Winfrey Show.
Up next, the topic for our program.
The topic for the show is behind the scenes with the Reverend Al Sharpton and the National Action Network's 10th Annual Triumph Awards. Now, I was personally in the house, and boy, do I got a lot to talk about. The show was extraordinary. It was at the world-famous Apollo Theater in New York City, a packed house. And some wonderful, wonderful honorees. You know, I got to say, like right off the top, I really thought I knew a lot about Al Sharpton. And I learned so much about him and the organization in just those few hours there at the ceremony. And it was more than just an award show. It was a celebration of his 65th birthday. It was also a celebration of his five decades in social reform and his activism. And he chose, the organization chose several people to honor that evening. And it was an amazing event. It was really more than I expected. Again, like I said, you know, I've followed Al Sharpton's career over the years, and like what I really knew about him was what I saw in the press, you know, how I saw him portrayed in the media, as I'm sure you know a lot of you you know may know him, you know, from his presence in the media, always seeing him on the front line for you know, justice and reform and, you know, fighting for the cause. But I got a chance to see a different Al Sharpton. I saw the man. I saw the father. I saw the grandfather. You know, I saw a humble, hardworking a man. And it was amazing. It was just amazing for me. Let me take it from the top. You know, I got there at around 4 o'clock. You know, I arrived at the Apollo Theater. That was very early. My appearance there, let me say, was sponsored by Pastor Linda Weaver and the Covenant Keepers Christian Center in Brooklyn, New York. So I thank them for making the arrangements for me to be present. So I got there around 4, as I said. That was a little early. So I went and I had a late lunch in Harlem. And before I left to go have some food, there was about probably 18 people, you know, online outside. You know, I guess they were just getting getting things together. And when I got back around an hour or so later, it was like around 5:30, the line was down the block and almost around the corner. Hundreds of people were online waiting to get in to the event. It was a free event. They didn't charge people for it. It was open to the public. You had the opportunity to register online or you can just show up there and hope that you would get in and get a seat. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the program, let me read Al Sharpton's open letter that was in the program. He says, and I quote, "Welcome to National Action Network's 10th Annual Triumph Awards. Tonight, we pause and reflect on the sacrifices of those who paved the way for us, and we collectively honor those who have joined with us across the years to help perfect our union." He goes on to say, "Despite their phenomenal success in the world of entertainment and business, those we honor tonight have not forgotten to give back and lift their voices in the struggle for civil rights. They have rallied for us to call attention to mass incarceration and criminal justice reform, have invested precious resources into ensuring that our youngsters have access to a quality education, and have demanded inclusion and equity in the boardrooms, on the courts, on the big screen, and in the music industry. They are an inspiration to us all. He goes on to say, the election of Donald J. Trump to the highest office in the land has birthed a new wave of anti-civil rights sentiments across the nation. The attacks on affirmative action, immigrants, and black athletes should worry us all. National Action Network has not remained on the sidelines. Through our direct action and advocacy work at the national and chapter level, we have called attention to President Trump's divisive rhetoric and have rallied thousands of new voters to the polls. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. noted in his 1963 letter from the Birmingham jail, our challenge is not to merely be a thermometer that records the temperature. Our job is to be the thermostat and help to transform and change society for the better. For a quarter of a century, we have been turning up the heat and have gotten tremendous results. As the leading civil rights organization in the country, we take Dr. King's mandate seriously. We believe that justice and equality are bedrock principles that guide the work that we do. Whether it's pushing for police reform, better schools for our children, job opportunities, racial and economic equality, and championing the cause of the LGBTQ community, we understand that justice is only achieved when all of us are given a fair shot. In conclusion, he says, we hope tonight's Triumph Awards inspire you to continue the necessary work that we must do to transform our nation. As we celebrate the work of these honorees, let us also recommit ourselves to the unfinished work of making sure that justice, fairness, and equity is commonplace in our everyday society. Yours in progress, Reverend Al Sharpton. The show was hosted by Cheryl Willis, a news anchor and author. I believe she's the an anchor for New York One here in New York. And she's done a phenomenal job hosting the show. She called on the audience members who weren't registered voters to get out there and vote, and talked about the importance of the 2020 election. Cheryl Willis, a phenomenal woman, did a wonderful job. And moments after that, I think within the first half hour of the show, they rolled out a cake to sing and honor the birthday celebration of the Reverend Al Sharpton. There's a beautiful cake, the beautiful candles on it. The audience sang a rendition of the Stevie Wonder's hit Happy Birthday. And it was a beautiful moment for Al Sharpton. He was humble. It was just a different Al Sharpton from the one I'm used to seeing in the public eye. You know, he was really humble and just honored to just be a part of the whole program and to be a force in bringing it all together. You know, it just showed. Again, like I said, I saw a whole nother side of him. You know, the father, the grandfather, the leader, the man. You know, phenomenal. Learned a whole lot about him. So shortly after the happy birthday celebration, I believe, if I'm going in the right order, that they had a big screen up, where they were showing different video and photo footage, collage of different footage and different people speaking. And I think the before we went into the video footage, I think that it was a beautiful number or two performed by the which one was it? I think it was the Grace Baptist Church Choir. Yeah, I believe it was the Grace Baptist Church Choir. The Grace Music Ministry keeps alive the various musical aspects of the African-American worship experience that includes spiritual hymns, traditional gospel, contemporary gospel, and anthems. Now, these diverse genres are part of their rich heritage and culture and used to edify the name of the Lord as we usher congregants to a meaningful worship experience through music. They did a phenomenal job and set the tone for the evening. You know, it really set the tone for the evening. And shortly after that, they brought out the screen. The screen came down and they started showing all these images. And I think one of the first ones that started off with President Barack Obama, who couldn't be there, but sent a beautiful message wishing Al a very happy birthday. And, you know, in between that, made some little jokes or whatever, you know, had the audience really laugh. And it was just really good to see him again. You know, after he left the White House, you don't see much of him in the media, you know, anymore. So it was really good to just hear his voice and hear some of the wonderful things that he's had to say about the Reverend Al Sharpton and wishing him a happy birthday and all that great stuff. And after that wonderful, you know, few words by President Barack Obama, the video screen just lit up with all of these images of Al Sharpton from a seven-year-old little boy preaching in the church all the way to the 1980s, where he was very heavy set and had the perm, you know, in his hair. And, you know, the audience was just chuckling and laughing at the different images. You know what I'm saying? You saw, you know, his journey. You saw his journey, and they captured it all so well. And, you know, again, like I said, it was just so much about him that I really didn't know, you know. And just in that few hours, I just got to learn a whole lot about the Reverend Al Sharpton. A whole new level of respect and admiration I have for the man now. So, yeah, I was a little 7-year-old Al. You know, he was up there in the pew, you know, preaching as a 7-year-old. And he talked about in that video collage his mentor, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and the role that Mr. Jackson played in his life, and, you know, how committed and honored he was to, you know, be a protege. He also talked about referred to him as his father, and that is the late James Brown. He talked about the influence James Brown had on his life, and he spoke about how he brought the body of James Brown back to the Apollo Theater to lay in state. You know, he talked about the great influences of the different people who worked with him and inspired him along his journey. He even made some little comments about how, you know, the public or members of the public always refer to him as a attention seeker, you know, always in the limelight trying to get attention. And he defended that, you know, by saying, yes, I am in the limelight trying to get attention. I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting his exact words, but he was like, yes, I'm in the media or on the front line trying to get attention to bring light on the cause. On the cause that we are fighting for. So, you know, the audience burst into applause, you know, and was just really moved in that moment. Again, like I said, we saw pictures of him and Michael Jackson and him and Bill Clinton and many of the different people and the causes that he stood for. He also brought up a member of the Central Park Five who was immediately employed by the National Action Network and is behind the scenes working, you know, to for reform and to better the community in any way he can. The gentleman, you know, said a few words and thanked the audience and then held his fists up in the air, you know, in a sign of victory. It was a very, very moving moment. So, you know, just to see all that, it was amazing. Let's talk a little bit about some of the honorees. One of the honorees was Patrice Cullors. She was the co-founder of Black Lives Matters, an artist, organizer, and educator, and popular public speaker. Patrice is a Los Angeles native and co-founder of the Black Lives Matter Global Network and founder and board chair of grassroots Los Angeles-based organizations Dignity and Power Now. She has been on the front lines of criminal justice and reform for the last 20 years and is leading Reform LA Jails, a ballot initiative that will be voted on in March of 2020. So she was honored this evening and came up, gave a wonderful speech, you know, a few words. And, you know, again, the audience was applauding and just really excited about learning about behind the scenes about some of the work of what these honorees have done. Also, Alicia Garza, a co-founder of Black Lives Matter, she was also honored that evening. And one of the other honorees was Van Jones, a news commentator and author. You would remember Van Jones from CNN. He's a CNN commentator. He came up and accepted his award and, you know, was almost in tears as he recapped his journey, you know, spoke a little bit about his youth. And he brought up two gentlemen who were released from prison as a result of the work that that he leads. It was so beautiful to hear, you know, these gentlemen come up and say a few words about the organization and the work that they're doing, and that, you know, one of them was even given a life sentence. And then, you know, that was overturned, you know what I'm saying, because of the work of Van Jones. Again, a wonderful commentator and author. And I got to say, I got to be honest, I know Van Jones from being on the CNN thing. So he would come on and be a commentator, going back and forth with other commentators about different issues of the day. And, you know, I was never really, you know, impressed. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, here's a brother. He's doing his thing, you know. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was my politics or whatever was probably different. And I just, you know, didn't connect. You know what I'm saying? But when I saw him this evening, you know, when I saw him being honored and heard a lot about him, heard him speak, it was a different Van Jones, you know what I'm saying, than the one I'm used to seeing on CNN. And let me give you a little history on him. Van Jones is the CEO of Reform, CNN political contributor and host of the Van Jones Show on CNN. Jones has been a leader in the fight for criminal justice and reform for more than 25 years. He has founded and led many thriving social enterprises, including the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, Color of Change, and the Dream Corps, a social justice accelerator that houses the organization that recently led the charge of passing the First Step Act, a bipartisan federal bill that the New York Times calls the most substantial breakthrough in criminal justice in a generation. Jones is a Yale-educated attorney. He's the author of three New York Times best-selling books, The Green Color Economy in 2008, Rebuild the Dream in 2012, and Beyond the Messy Truth, 2017. In 2009, Jones worked as the Green Jobs Advisor to President Barack Obama, where he helped to lead the interagency process that oversaw the multi-billion dollar investment in the skills training and jobs development within the environmental and green energy sector. So it was really great to see him. Again, like I said, he was moved to tears almost talking about the work that he do. It was just an honor to see him in this light. A whole new level of respect for Van Jones. Keep doing the good work, brother. We are with you. Also, one of the other honorees was Ivy McGregor, CEO of Ivy Inc. And social responsibility Baygood, a company I believed owned by singer Beyoncé Knowles Carter. And then came the time for some more performances. Now, one of the other honorees, Dominique Morrissey. Oh, my goodness. I have to say her name right. Dominique Morrissey. I hope I'm saying it right. It's M-O-R, Isseau, Dominique Morrissey. She's a playwright, a wonderful writer out of Detroit, Michigan. And she was being honored for her wonderful work and contribution. She made a wonderful speech, a very inspiring speech, you know, for women. And, you know, she had the audience really engaged. And it was an honor to really learn a lot about her. And she brought along with her members of the cast of the show that won a Tony Award. And she also won a Tony nomination as writer of the show. She brought along the cast members, and boy, did they do their thing. The show is Ain't Too Proud, is the electrifying new musical that follows the Temptations' extraordinary journey from the streets of Detroit to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. With their signature dance moves and unmistakable harmonies, they rose to the top of the charts, creating an amazing 42 top 10 hits, with 14 reaching number one. And the rest is history. How they met, the groundbreaking heights they hit, and how personal and political conflicts threatened to tear the group apart as the United States fell into civil unrest. This thrilling story of brotherhood, family, loyalty, and betrayal is set to the beat of the group's treasured hits, including My Girl, Just My Imagination, Get Ready, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, and many, many more. The guys came out and did a phenomenal job. The audience were dancing in their seats. Beautiful memories of the Motown sound. Again, that show is now playing on Broadway at the Imperial Theater. And it's so funny, that same theater is the theater that housed the show Dreamgirls back in the 1980s. I remember because I went there to go see it. And I was like, wow, you know, two kind of... You know, those musicals seem to end up at the Imperial Theater. Well, they're on a good stage there, but it's a phenomenal show. And go check it out. The writer was on it at the Triumph Awards. Dominique, congratulations to you. You know actress, singer Notori. She plays Tasha on the Starz Network number one hit series, Power, which is in its sixth and final season. Notori was on it also that evening, and she spoke beautifully and talked about, you know, Power and her career. She brought her mom and dad to the show, and, you know, she was a wonderful speaker. You could tell she was very proud in the moment. She talked about how wonderful it was to be an actor in Black Hollywood. Congratulations to you, Notori. And also, one of the honorees was Isaiah Thomas, NBA Hall of Famer. Born and raised on Chicago's West Side, Isaiah Lord Thomas III's professional career spans more than three decades in business and sports. Thomas has generated worldwide attention for his contributions in all levels of professional basketball, including induction into the NBA Hall of Fame, and for his distinctive business initiative and philanthropic endeavors. Congratulations to Isaiah Thomas. He won the Chairman's Award. Isaiah came up and talked about his upbringing. He talked about his childhood and his mom, you know, being on the front line and taking them to, you know, to have breakfast and stuff at those different places that the Rainbow Coalition and Jesse Jackson sponsored back then. He talked about how those moments affected his life and, you know, made him, you know, part of the man that he is today. He sang the praises of his wife. Oh, that was just so beautiful. How, you know, he really praised her at being, you know, by his side and just all of the things she did to make him the man that he is today. That was really a wonderful thing. You know, he really put a lot of emphasis on that. Congratulations to Isaiah Thomas. A well-deserved honor. And also there was a performance by the Greater Allen AME Cathedral Ensemble. The Greater Allen Cathedral Music Ministry has flourished under Pastor Reverend Dr. Floyd and Elaine Flake and musical director Stanley Brown. under the instructions of Stephanie Fisher, the choir consists of over 200 singers with various levels of musical training, but also equally passionate about excellence in music and ministry. They did a phenomenal job. I mean, you know, you have to remember Al Sharpton is also a minister. He's a reverend. And, you know, at moments, you know, they took it to church. You know, the place was, you know, just on their feet in praise, you know. Unforgettable experiences, great performances by the greater Alan AME singers. And then the rest was, you know, pretty much performances, you know, not too much speaking. One of the things Al Sharpton came out and said that was very moving. He didn't get into any politics. He didn't get into any Trump talk. He said he didn't want the evening to be dampened by current events of the day. He wanted it to be a happy celebration, and that it truly was. I have to say that it truly was. You know, he plugged that stuff up just a little, just a tiny, you know, to make his point. You know, it's like, we're not going to talk about Trump. We're not going to dampen the evening with that stuff. And, you know, so, you know, he did it that way, and it was beautiful. The audience loved it. And, you know, again, you just saw a whole nother man. I saw the man, Al Sharpton, the man. You know, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And to bring the show to its conclusion, it was a performance by gospel recording artist Leandra Johnson, best known for season 3 on the BET show Sunday Best. She's a Grammy and Stella Award winner, beautiful singer. Let me tell you something. That woman had that place on their feet. She took it home. She took it to church. A phenomenal singer. This is the first time that I actually saw her perform, you know, live, you know, actually even heard, you know, her music. She, you know, that voice, that singing was coming from her soul. And everybody in the audience felt it. Everybody in the audience felt it. It was amazing. Congratulations to Leandra Johnson on all of your success. And you really brought a whole new energy, you know, to this program, the Triumph Awards. It was a great choice in having her there. It was an honor to be in the company of such great contributors to the African American community and the world. In conclusion, the evening was inspiring, entertaining, and educational on many levels. I thank Al Sharpton, the National Action Network, and its board of directors and members for all the great work they do. Congratulations to the honorees for the great work each of them does to better our community and the world over. Happy birthday, Brother Al Sharpton. Happy 65th birthday to you, and may you be blessed to continue on the front line for social justice and reform for all. Charlene from Columbus, Ohio asks, Surikhan, how do you stay focused in the face of everybody else's success? Well, Charlene, you know, when you're out there and you're striving to make your dreams come true, and you turn around and you see everybody reaching that level of success but you, it can be discouraging. But you got to stay focused on your own path. You can't keep looking back to see what everyone else is doing when you're running your race. How do you get to that finish line if you're looking back? Focus on you. Focus on your dreams, your aspirations. We all have them. So you focus on your own aspirations. Focus on your own dreams. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. You can't keep looking back to see what everyone else is doing, because then it slows you down. Your time, your day, your moment will come if you stay in the race. You got to stay in the race, and you got to stay focused on you, your dreams, your vision.
If Surikhan isn't on your podcast isn't really on.
To have your advice and guidance requests be highlighted on the program, send your questions to info@surikhan.net and put Ask Surikhan in the subject. Up next, Surikhan's powerful lyrics quote.
I sing the body electric. I glory in the glow of rebirth, creating my own tomorrow when I shall embody the earth. The song title, I Sing the Body Electric, by Laura Dean, Irene Cara, Paul McCrane, Tracy Parnell, and Eric Brookington, from the motion picture soundtrack Fame, songwriter Dean Pitchford and Michael Gore. Go to YouTube.com and enjoy this inspirational, powerful performance by putting in the title, I Sing the Body Electric, Fame. One more time. I sing the body electric. I glory in the glow of rebirth, creating my own tomorrow when I shall embody the earth. You're listening to Surikhan's Whispers of Wisdom.
You can see more of these inspirational quotes by me if you visit my Instagram page I have set up for this. The title is Sura Quotes, S-U-R-A-Q-U-O-T-E-S, one word, Sura Quotes.
Well, now comes the time we have to say so long, and I would like to thank the Reverend Al Sharpton and the National Action Network and its board members for such a wonderful event at the Apollo Theater in New York City. Again, I would like to say congratulations to all the honorees, and I want to thank all of you for joining us on this edition of Surikhan's Whispers of Wisdom. To become a sponsor of Surikhan's Whispers of Wisdom, just shoot us an email over at info@surikhan.net, and I'll be glad to discuss options with you. Also, if you want to make a donation to support the podcast, please go to my website at www.surikhan.net, and in the bar at the top there is a area for podcast donations. Your support is appreciated. A love donation. Until next time, take care. Love, peace, and happiness. And remember, the power is in the word. The word contains three important essentials: energy, light, and power. Be very careful of the words you speak from your mouth, and be even more careful of the words that you take in and allow to become a part of you. Until next time, I'm Surikhan.
Support this broadcast with your generous donation. This podcast is produced by Surikhan Media Brand.